Can you hear me now? Oh, it's so good to see everybody. Merry Christmas. Let's go ahead and get it out of the way. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Season greetings. You know, I'm just glad you're here tonight. And I'm going to take this off because it's really hot up here under these lights. Well, I want to start off with a story, and it's going to start off kind of bad. And those of you that know me, you're thinking like, oh gosh, where are you going with this? It's not that bad, okay? But me and Margie were in bed, okay? So, but that's about as juicy as it gets because we're about to go to sleep, right? And Margie is, you know, she's been watching these cooking shows and everything else, and I was reading a book and everything, so we finally go to bed. And we have this routine whenever we go to bed. Basically, I jump in the bed first so I don't have to turn off the lights, right? And because Margie has this whole routine at home where she has to, she puts on makeup to go to bed. It's the weirdest thing. I don't know if it's makeup, but it's cold cream. And just all, that's why she looks so beautiful and young. But the point is, the lights are off. Once she gets finished in there, she turns the lights off, and she was coming over, and she always comes over to my side of the bed, and she bends down to give me a kiss. Well, I don't know what happened, because what we do is we kind of prepare for it. You know, it's like, you know, do y'all ever do that? Am I the only one? Well, that's fine, because I don't care, and my wife's pretty. So anyway, I'm in bed, she's about to lean down, and I lean up, and instead of a kiss, we have a collision. We have a collision. I mean, the heads bang and everything like this. I hear Margie go, ah! I'm like, what's going on? And Margie's like, I think you busted my lip. So I said, turn the light on. So she turns the light on, and sure enough, she's got a little bit of blood right there. Me, right here in my forehead, I've got her teeth imprinted. And it's like, and so we've never kissed again, ever since then. But the point is, sometimes in the dark, bad things happen. I mean, think about the horror movies that we always watch. They always take place in the dark. You know, how many of you saw the movie It? Okay, it's good. I'm glad you didn't. But anyway, it's about this clown that lives in the gutter. I mean, if a clown came out and is throwing frisbees in your front yard in the middle of the day, I mean, that's not scary. It's weird, but it's not scary. But the fact that he lives in the sewer, and all of this stuff happens at night, and you're like, ah. You know, and sometimes I'll get up in the middle of the night and I'll start to go to the bathroom or something and step on a Lego that Ridge has laid around. See, the night, the dark is scary sometimes. That's why in our hallway we even have night lights, and I'm 61 and we have night lights because the night, the dark could be a scary, scary place. I want to start off with a little bit of the history of Israel, because Israel finds itself in a place that is dark. The Assyrians are encamped all around. And if you think of Israel, Israel is this little tiny country. Even today it's a little country. But back then it was even smaller. And Assyria was like the power nation, right? They're like the United States and Russia and China combined, right? And so Israel is freaking out. They're like, this is a dark time for us. We need to pray. We need to find out how we can get help. And so instead of going to God, who has led them through the bad times, God who has saved them, God who has chastised them and saved them again and chastised them and saved them again, instead of going to God, they look to all of the nations around them and they start to adopt their procedures. They go to the magicians. They go to the witches. They go to the necromancers. They go to all of these people saying, like, help us out, help us out, help us out. So Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, says this, and this is in chapter 8, verses 19 and 22. It says this, and when they say to you, inquire of the mediums and the necromancers who chirp and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Should they inquire of the dead on behalf of the living? And then 22, they will look to the earth, but behold, distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into thick darkness. In other words, God is telling Isaiah, and Isaiah is basically chastising the Israelites. He's saying, you know what? You're going to all of these people, but it's wrong. And what it's doing is leading you even to a deeper, a thicker darkness. Now, how many of you have ever experienced that? You know, you something happens in your life, so you go to your friends, and they tell you what you should do. And you end up doing what your friend tells you to do, and you end up worse off than you were in the first place. Anybody? Yeah, that happens a lot. We instead of going to God saying, God, you know, I'm convicted. I'm full of fault. I need your help. We go to our friends, or we search our horoscope. Oh, that's why it happened today, because my horoscope was so bad. You know, and I don't even understand all that stuff where your moon could be in the stars, or I don't even get all that. But that's what people were doing. And Isaiah's saying, no, go to God. Because what's happening when you don't, you end up in a darker place. And then he says, did you catch this? It says a thick darkness. In other words, you're not just in darkness anymore. You are in thick darkness. You're not just in a mess now. You're in a big mess now. But God doesn't leave them there. That's in chapter 8 of Isaiah. And this is what he says in chapter 9. Chapter 9, verses 2, and then I'm going to do verses 6 and 7. He says this, for to us a child is born, for to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it. And verse 2 says this, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, that thick darkness, on them a light has shone. And that's the light that we celebrate tonight in Jesus Christ. You see, darkness, when we seek by the world standards, when we seek answers by that, it always equals some kind of false light. Oh, there may be a brief glimmer. You know, like, oh, okay, I did this and it worked out. And it may work out for a bit, but eventually it's going to fail because the world gives us false light. God gives real light, and he gives a great light. It says the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and that great light is the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So let's talk about the light, and I want to break it down in the four things that Isaiah says. The first thing he says is Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. Wouldn't it be great if we had access to the most intelligent person in the world and we could just sit down with them and just kind of talk to them? Well, we do. We have access to God himself. Christ is the Wonderful Counselor. He says he will be with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. In other words, he comes alongside and he gives us strength. And through the Spirit of Christ, through the Holy Spirit, we have strength to get through. He's this Wonderful Counselor. I mean, we live in a time where, you know, maybe there's not a big nation that's going kind of seeking after us. But, you know, depending on the news, you could look at CNN or Fox, wherever you get your news, you may find out there's a lot of bad things happening in the world. But you don't have to look at the world or at our nation to see problems. You can look in your own circle. And you could see what's going on. You could see marriages that are falling apart. You could see relationships that are fractured. You could see children that are just going off on their own, wayward children. You can see people with chronic illness, right? Merry Christmas, by the way, you know? All of this stuff is going on, and we need a great light. We need a Wonderful Counselor, and in Jesus Christ, we have that. He comes and he comforts us. He watches over us. He counsels us. In the Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He's given us his handbook, and this is it. And when we get in here, God speaks. And there is great wisdom in here. And so he becomes our Wonderful Counselor. The second thing it says is that he is a mighty God. He is the mighty God. In other words, it doesn't just tell us who Jesus is. He's a mighty God. It tells us how Jesus is. He's not just God. He is a mighty God. There is nothing you can do that he can't save you from. There is nothing that he can't do. He is perfect in every way. Basically, he took our sins upon himself. He came into this world, and for the first couple of years, you know, he was in Bethlehem, and then he went to Nazareth, and then from there he lived most of his life in Capernaum, right around the Sea of Galilee, and he became a carpenter. Yeah, something, not a drummer boy. I was hammering. My ADD, I was like, whoop, there it goes. He was hammering. Yes, he was a carpenter, right? And so he spent his life doing that, but then he spent his life teaching us about a God that loved us so much. And then he went to the cross, not because he was forced to. He did it because out of love for us. Do you realize that? He loved us so much because we couldn't live a perfect life, so he did it for us. We couldn't go to the cross and pay for our own sin because that is what Jesus did for us. And then on the third day after that, we celebrated Easter. He was raised from the dead and he conquered death and hell and he lives eternally. And then we think like, yay, Jesus. Okay, we have Christmas. Yay, we have Easter. But Jesus isn't finished yet. There's more that Jesus is doing. He's sitting at the right hand of God right now and he is interceding on your behalf and on my behalf. He's a mighty God willing to save us. So he's not just a wonderful counselor and a mighty God. The light gets even brighter. You know, I could stop there and say like, wow, that's the God I want to serve. But it goes on and the light gets brighter and it says he's the everlasting Father. And then some of you, you know, you're thinking theologically, you're going, well, you know, if God is the Father and Jesus is the Son, how is Jesus the Father now? Back in these days, the father, the idea of the family is what provided hope, safety, security. And out of the family, the father is the one who was in charge of all of that. He was the one that the families looked up to. That's where the lineage came from. So the father was in charge of making sure that the family was ready to be protected, to be watched over, to be provided for. And so what happens is, as this everlasting father, Jesus gives us a family. We're no longer orphans just reaching our hand out in the dark going, somebody save me. I can't take this anymore. Jesus says, you are now my family. I don't call you strangers anymore. You are friends. Do you get that? And because now we are in God's family, God sees us as his children. We have a place at his table. And it's not just for a little bit. It is for eternity. He is our everlasting Father. In other words, Jesus will watch over us. He will protect us as he calls us into his very presence. And so I could stop there. He's a wonderful counselor. He's a mighty God. He's our everlasting Father. But the light burns even brighter tonight because it says he is the Prince of Peace. Now, during this time when Isaiah was writing this and he looked at this, Assyria is around and the Israelites are saying, yeah, we need peace. Okay, good. We need this Prince of Peace because we need peace with the Assyrians. We need peace with the Egyptians. We need peace with all these other countries that are around us that are just knocking at our door trying to overtake us. We want this peace. And that's one of the reasons why Jesus, when he came, he didn't come to remove any of that stuff from anybody. He says, in the middle of all your struggles, I'll be with you. And that's why some people had a hard time saying, you're not the Messiah. You're not the one we've been waiting for. We've been waiting for someone that's going to get rid of all of our enemies so that we can have lasting peace. But we know in this world, I mean, think about the United States. After World War II, man, it's like we're living on top of the world, right? We're going to have peace forevermore. Until just a couple years ago, well, maybe even a year ago, I can't even remember because this COVID thing has me all screwed up. It's kind of like the time change. I don't know if it's day or night anymore. It's crazy. But think about this. Remember just a few short years ago, we were one temper tantrum away from North Korea sending over nukes because that guy's crazy. There is no lasting peace until Christ comes and gives lasting peace. But the peace that Christ came to give us, see, there's a different type of peace. We are a sinful people. We're selfish. We're self-centered. We do what's in our best interest. We try to become our own God. We try to sit on our own throne. And what happens is we lose the focus that Jesus is the king of our life. And so what happens is there is enmity between us and God. There's no peace there. I mean, think about it. We're sinful and unrighteous. God is holy, holy, holy. And if you're holy and this sinful, then the sinful has to be judged. And if the judgment comes, the wages of sin is death. And so it's like, that don't sound too good. There's something going on between us and God. And so we needed this mediator between us, and that was the God, man, Jesus Christ. So when it says he's the Prince of Peace, he came and he gave us that peace between God and us. And we are in his presence and we feel his peace. The peace is between a sinful people and a holy God. But again, Jesus isn't finished, because Jesus is going to come back, and on that day, there will be peace all over the earth, and every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that he is the Lord. And in that moment, there will be true peace, lasting peace, as we are in his presence for eternity. John chapter 8, verse 12 says this. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Do you get that? Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And that's what we celebrate tonight. Behold, the light has come. He's not just that, gosh, this is almost bad, but in Ricky Bobby, y'all remember Ricky Bobby? And he prayed to the little 5-pound, 7-ounce baby Jesus in the cradle. You know, he's not the 5-pound, 7-ounce baby Jesus in the cradle. He is our wonderful counselor. He is our everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He's a mighty God. That's who Jesus is. Don't think of him as this little baby in a manger. Don't think of him as this weak shepherd in the pictures, kind of sitting next to the little lambs with little kids around him. That's not who he is. He's coming back on a horse. He's coming back with a sword. He's coming back, and he will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in that day, there will be peace. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. If you're going through dark times in your life, even if you're trying to kiss your wife in the middle of the night and you bang your heads, whatever it is, he is there for us, and he is that light of the world. Do you get that? Do you get that? I want to close with Luke. And in Luke chapter 2, and Sandra read part of this, and you know, as we lit the candle, we talked about the verse from Isaiah, but it says this in chapter 2, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for that. We thank you for being the light of the world. We thank you for loving us in spite of ourselves. Father, so many times we try to be our own God, to do our own thing, and we just end up stumbling over ourselves. Father, tonight, on the most holiest of nights, we just celebrate the birth of Jesus, not only into the world, but Father, we celebrate the birth of Jesus as he comes into our life every day. Father, I pray that we would not be people where there is no room in the inn, but we would open our hearts and open our minds to receive what Christ has for us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.